So we're talking, we're studying through the Lord's Prayer, and now we've come to the phrase, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And this is the middle part of the prayer. It's huge because it's about relationships and it's about hurt. Sheila's uncle Don grew up in Houston, Texas, went to college there, and ended up working for NASA. He was there during the Apollo years. He knew all of the astronauts, all those people that you see in Apollo 13 in the control room. That was, he would take turns being in that control room. He was involved with that. He was also a really strong Christian and a wonderful man. And he was at his church in Pasadena, Texas, one Saturday when they were having an all-day conference on relationships, how to strengthen the relationships in your life. And at one point during the conference, the speaker was standing up there talking about relationships, and he said, "This is not rocket science, people. This is relationships." At the break, Uncle Don went up to the speaker and he said to him, "You know, I am a rocket scientist. And relationships are way harder." And that is exactly true. So we're talking about relationships, and very specifically, we're talking about hurt. Relationships is the hardest thing we will ever do in life. Forgiving may be the hardest thing we ever do in the context of relationships. But Jesus is very serious about this. In the Lord's Prayer, he says, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." And then our memory verse is right at the end of the Lord's Prayer. It's the only thing Jesus comes back and teaches more about is forgiveness out of this whole prayer. When he says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And Jesus is serious about this. It's the only part that he puts qualifications on. It's the only part that he comes back and teaches more about. He's serious about it, because and everything that God tells us to do and everything that he really points out to us, it's for our highest good. Jesus is serious about it because he knows that unforgiveness will destroy us. But forgiveness will open up doors for experience the kind of abundant life that he wants us to experience. But we tend to excuse or ignore or give ourselves or other people a pass when it comes to hurt, because hurt is hard. And we live in a culture where that says, well, if somebody hurts you, then hurt them back. And we'll excuse this in our lives. Well, you know, I love them and I care about them, but, you know, we just don't get along. Or, yeah, they hurt me a long time ago, and we act as if everything's okay, but there's still unforgiveness in our hearts. Jesus is serious about us forgiving other people. And so we need to spend some time here, understanding what forgiveness is all about. If it's that important to Jesus, then we need to grasp it. So I want to begin to talk about, last week we talked about God's forgiveness and what we experience in that. Now we want, this week and a couple more messages, we're going to talk about what it means for us to forgive and how we can live with the kind of freedom God offers to us as we forgive other people. So today, let's talk about some actions that will lead us to forgive others. Actions that will lead us to forgive others. The first action is that we need to ditch the myths about forgiveness. We need to get rid of some of the false thinking about forgiveness. There are some concepts that it's very helpful to know what something is not in order to get to what something is. And there are so many wrong ideas about forgiveness in our culture that we need to just take a look at those and jettison them from our lives. So here are some of the myths. First of all, forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling. One of the great myths in our society is that if I don't feel like I've forgiven someone, then I haven't forgiven someone. But forgiveness is not a feeling. Maybe it's partly human nature, it's partly the culture that we live in, that feelings are we view them as the most valid things in our lives. That if I don't feel something, then it must not be true. If I do feel like something, then it must be true. But forgiveness is not a feeling. Just because I forgive you for drinking and driving my car into a tree doesn't mean that I don't still have some hurt that you did that. It doesn't mean that I'm automatically not angry with you. It doesn't mean that I automatically feel love for you. But forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an act of the will. So that those feelings can still not feel like I've forgiven. Forgiveness is not pretending it didn't happen or hiding from it. Sometimes we think, well, if I forgive, that means I have to pretend that everything's okay when it's still not okay. That I have to act as if something really didn't happen, that our lives are good, and I go to a family reunions and act as if we've never had an argument and there's nothing between us. And that's not true. Just because I forgave you for drinking and driving my car into a tree doesn't mean I act like you didn't do it. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgive and forget is not a reality. And maybe this is one of the biggest myths. Forgive and forget. Are you familiar with that term? Just forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. And we think that if we haven't forgotten it, then we haven't forgiven. Those are two separate concepts. Forgiving doesn't mean I actually, when I forgive doesn't mean I automatically forget. We'll talk more about that. Another version goes like this. Why don't you just let it go? Why can't you just move on? You just need to forget it. It's not a part of forgiveness. You can forgive and not forget. You see, just because I forgave you for drinking and driving my car into a tree doesn't mean that I forget that it happened. It doesn't wipe it from my mind. Another myth, forgiveness is not condoning or excusing a wrong. It's not condoning or excusing a wrong. One of the things that we struggle with is if I forgive someone and treat them with love, then I'm actually saying condoning their wrong behavior. You ever felt that or heard that? And that's not true. Just because I forgive doesn't mean I'm saying it's okay that you did it. It doesn't mean that you get a pass on it, or it doesn't mean that we just excuse it. Forgiving doesn't minimize or justify the hurt that I have. And so it's not condoning and it's not excusing the wrong. Just because I forgave you for drinking and driving my car into a tree doesn't mean I make excuses for you, or that I say, oh, it's good, drive my next car into a tree. Forgiveness is not reconciling. Another myth is that if I forgive that person, that means our relationship has to be the same or better than it was before. Now, the ultimate goal, the ultimate hope in relationships is that we do reconcile. But that's a different concept than forgiveness. Sometimes the other person has done something so bad that the relationship is broken. And unless God miraculously intervenes, it will never be repaired. That's just reality. It's not a perfect world. Other times, the offender will not allow reconciliation. So you can't. And if they don't allow reconciliation, it doesn't mean that you haven't forgiven. It just means that they're still holding you at arm's length. Just because I forgave you for drinking and driving my car into a tree doesn't mean our relationship will be healed. There's more steps to it than that. So it's not reconciling. Forgiveness, the next myth, forgiveness is not based on the wrongdoer's apology. In a perfect world, the offender would apologize right away. But it's like two little kids. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. And there are people who will never tell you they're sorry. There are people who will never apologize. There are people who don't think they did anything wrong. There are people who have died that can't give you an apology. Apology in a perfect world would be great, but forgiveness is not based on the other person asking for forgiveness. What we see in God is he's forgiven us even before we ask, even before we accept the forgiveness. So just because you don't apologize for my drinking and driving, for your drinking and driving my car into a tree, doesn't mean I haven't forgiven you. Another one, forgiveness is not societal justice. It's a personal relationship issue. Some people will say, well, I can't forgive, and that person needs to pay for what they've done. And I can't forgive them until they pay for what they've done. Those are two separate issues. So there's the issue of forgiveness. I forgive you, but there's the issue of that person being brought to justice. And forgiveness does not eliminate justice. It's a different issue. Some of you are aware that my nephew was killed in the shooting in Aurora in the theater. It's been 6 years now. And a lot of the questions was, how can you forgive that person for killing a family member when they haven't apologized? And the answer is, that's a separate issue. We forgive, we let go of that hurt, we let go of that. But then at the same time, justice in society needs to be done. And so my sister goes and she testifies at the trial. Not because they haven't forgiven, but because there are consequences that need to be paid. Those are two separate issues. Just because I forgive you for drinking and driving my car into a tree doesn't mean I don't make you fix it. Forgiveness is not trust. Forgiveness is not trust. That's another myth. Forgiveness, this is an important concept to understand. Forgiveness is freely given. Trust is earned. Just because I forgive you doesn't mean I'm going to trust you until you earn it. And so some people struggle with forgiveness because they think, well, if I forgive that person, then I have to act as if the relationship is the way it has always been, and I need to trust them again with the very thing that they have hurt me with. And that's not true. Trust is earned. So we can forgive, but then if that person wants to rebuild the trust, then it has to be rebuilt in the way that Jesus would tell us to rebuild it. And I often will hear the offender say, well, if you really forgive me, if you really forgave me, then you will trust me. And if I'm in that counseling session, I'm all over that person. Because trust is earned. Forgiveness is given. Just because I forgave you for drinking and driving my car into a tree doesn't mean I let you drive my car again. And then finally, forgiveness is not a feeling. Now some of you are going, Herb, have you lost your mind? That was the first one. Well, I may have lost my mind, but I know that it's the last one too. Because feelings are what drives our culture. And so first and last, we need to understand that forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness, write this down, is a choice. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. Now, I want to talk about feelings for a little bit. Are feelings, audience participation, are feelings important? Yes. Boy, you guys are right all over that. Sometimes I have to drag it out of you, but this one's... Feelings are important because who created feelings? God. Yeah. God created feelings. It wasn't that, you know, God was on the assembly line and he was working on each one of us and then he sneezed and looked over this way and the devil threw feelings in before we came out on the end of the assembly line. No, God created feelings as a part of who we are. But feelings need to be put in their proper place. Feelings are good. Would you want to go through life without any feelings? I mean, you're just a robot. Feelings are good. But feelings have to be put in the place that God designed them to be. So we don't deny feelings. Forgiveness. So when it comes to forgiveness, there are times when you don't feel like forgiving that person. Am I right? Anybody want to say yes? Yeah. There are times when somebody hurts you and you don't want to forgive them. You want them to hurt. Those are all feelings, and they are there. You don't deny that they're there. You don't pretend that they're not there. You're not unspiritual if they're there. It's just that you don't let them be in charge. Forgiveness is a choice. Feelings come after that. So, as I was preparing this week, and especially this morning, as I was preparing this, an idea, an object lesson came to mind. And it's not fully developed, but it's an analogy. So if you see things that are a little off with it, it's okay because we're all a little bit off. So I want to help us understand. I really want to focus on this whole idea of feelings and choice when it comes to forgiveness. So I need a little bit of help. If you guys could put two chairs back here in the back and then two chairs here for me. So we got four seats in this vehicle. This vehicle represents who we are and where we're headed. So we got two back seats, we got two front seats, we got a driver's seat. Here, pull that one over this way a little bit. So we got a driver's seat. We're going to be in the United States, so the driver's seat will be on that side. If we're doing this in England, we might want to put the driver's seat on this side. So we got a driver's seat, we got shotgun, the passenger seat, and we got two back seats. We got four people that are pretty much a part of our lives as we go through life. So I need some volunteers. So the first person I want to volunteer is EJ.
I forgive you.
And we have special an entity that you're supposed to be a part of. So you just turn around and stand over there for the moment. So the first person we have in this vehicle is feelings. And then, let's see, I picked out some other volunteers. Is Sarah in here? Nope, okay. How about Lyric? Is Lyric in here? Come on up. Feelings Junior. So we got two people, Feelings and Feelings Junior. Feelings is the obvious. It's the feelings that we have. It's the things that the emotions that we have. Feelings Junior is just a creation that I made up in my mind. These are feelings that blindside us. They're just kind of come in random ways out of the blue that don't kind of try to drive us. They just distract us and try to get us to do things that we should or shouldn't do. And then we have another person is the will. The will. Let's see. Who did I choose? Oh, there it is. Russ. Russ. The will is that part of us that says, I'm going to do this. We're going to go this way. They're organized. They're always on time. And they're not driven by feelings. They're driven by what's right. They are in command. And then finally, in this whole process, you have Jesus is supposed to be a part of this. And as I was coming up here, Melissa volunteered to be a part of this morning. So we're going to have Melissa be Jesus. Jesus is the one that you really want to charge. So this vehicle represents who we are, where we're headed, what we're supposed to be doing. When we are born, who's in charge? Well, no, not really. Who's in charge? Who is guiding that baby's life? feeling. So, EJ, take the driver's seat. And is there any will involved here? No. And Jesus is just kind of hanging around because he's watching over things. So you just stand right here, and you can be back there. And then Feelings Junior, you come right here. So when a child is born, the will is not involved, right? It's pure feelings. How many of you ever seen a baby? A baby is driven by what? I want food. I want my diaper changed. I want to sleep. I want. Those are all feelings. They are not, there's no cognitive value. There's nothing going on except for feelings. As we get a little bit older, maybe, toddlers, then what's in charge? Feelings are still in charge, right? Because the child still is being driven. So they're either angry, they're mad, they're hurt, they're frustrated, and feelings are still there, and Jesus is still overseeing everything, but the will is nowhere in sight. So the child gets a little bit older, and feelings are still in charge, but the will begins to have a part of their lives, right? So Feelings Junior goes into the back seat, and the will is up here. But who's still driving? Feelings. And every once in a while, the will will say, okay, turn left, turn right, do something. And they'll listen. And Jesus is still here overseeing everything, making sure the child doesn't kill himself. And then we move into the teenage years. Who's in charge then? Feelings. And Feelings Junior is there, and the will is there, but the seat is kind of way over here. And every once in a while, the will will take charge and do the homework. Go to bed when you're supposed to go to bed. And so the will begins to function in the way it's supposed to. Then we move into adulthood. And what are we driven by? See, none of you want to answer because you don't know what you think is a trick question. It's still this way. We just cover it up well. Feelings are still in charge. In our culture, feelings are still in charge. But the will is closer to the feelings, so move over a little bit, because maturity means that the will say to the feelings, we need to turn left, we need to turn right, we need to hit the brake, we need to hit the gas, and sometimes feelings will listen, sometimes they don't, but they are not in charge yet, right? Then, if a person comes to that place in their life where they say, I want to follow Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to them and says, convicts them of their sin. They say, yeah, I want to follow Christ. I want. And so, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Please forgive me of my sins. I commit to live for you. I want you to be in my life. And that's when Jesus comes into the car. So if you want to sit back there. And at this point, that's where Jesus is. Because we are so young in this. He's there now. And every once in a while, he reaches up. So Melissa, reach up and tap EJ on the shoulder and say, I want you to do something. Okay? And then we'll listen, right? But this is not the ideal, is it? Because if this continues to go on, if I don't feel like I'm forgiven by God, that will be my driving. That will be validated. I will feel like, well, God, where is God? He doesn't love me anymore. He really hasn't forgiven me. I don't feel like I've forgiven someone else, the feelings are in charge. They are driving it. The will pokes the feelings every once in a while, but feelings are still in charge. And so, feelings are in charge. The will says once in a while, Feelings Junior says, let's go get ice cream. Go get ice cream. Because she's just back there distracting things. And sometimes the feelings will listen to it. Sometimes the will says, no, you can't have ice cream now. No, and they won't go. And Jesus is still back here. He's still present. And he's saying, let me drive. Because the hardest thing we have to do in our Christian life is to give Jesus the steering wheel. Am I right? And even when we sing these songs that say, Lord Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go, if the feelings say, but I don't want to go there, we have to fight the feelings, because the feelings are what we have been living with our whole lives as the most valid thing in our lives. So when you accept Jesus as your Savior, he comes in, but then the war between feelings and the will of God ramps up. What's interesting is before we were Christians, we don't even know we need Jesus, and seems like things are going fine because I'm just doing whatever I want to do. It doesn't always work out very well, but I'm just doing whatever. But when we accept Jesus as Savior, then now he begins to say, I want you to do something different. And the war begins, because now it's a war between the feelings of what I want to do and what God wants me to do. Now, Russ, you'll be glad to know, Russ is the one who chooses who sits in the driver's seat. This is our person. This is our will. This is our level of choice. And so that's the will. The will determines who sits in the driver's seat. And so as Jesus begins to work in our lives, he says, let me drive. And if we say, okay, we'll let Jesus drive. Switch. Now, we don't drive. The will doesn't drive. We choose who's going to drive. Does that make sense? So Jesus, either Jesus or Feelings Jr. are going to determine who's going to drive. So Jesus is saying, let me drive, I'll drive. But the feelings are back here going, let's do something different. I want to do something different. And the feelings get really loud. And they're bugging the will. Go ahead. They're bugging the will. Come on. Let's do something different. Feelings Junior's over is going here. Let's get ice cream. Because she's just there. She's just kind of distracting every once in a while. But the feelings, the emotions, I want what I want. I want this job. I want this money. I want this food that will make me feel good. I want this person to be the love of my life. I want this promotion. Feelings are doing that all the time. They're telling the will. And the only way that Jesus stays in the driver's seat is if we say, Jesus, what do you want? Because the feelings are going to bombard us. And the war ramps up because temptation comes from the feelings. Am I right? The will, it's not from the will, because the will is making the decisions. Look at the face. Look at that face. That's where temptation comes from. And so the feelings will tell the will what they want to do. And then every once in a while, the feelings will reach up and try to take the steering wheel from Jesus. It's not that the feelings are put in charge, but every once in a while, the feelings get so strong that it tries to take the steering wheel, tries to move it where the feelings want it to go. And that's the war with temptation. Meanwhile, Feelings Junior is saying, let's go get ice cream, because it's a lot easier than dealing with all of this. The longer you're a Christian, then, the more you begin to identify when feelings are trying to be in control. As we move closer to God, that's his perspective. And so when the Bible talks about having the mind of Christ, that's what it's talking about. It's not that the feelings are any different. It's just that we begin to notice them. In fact, the feelings get stronger because the temptation gets stronger because Satan is trying to get us to go his way instead of God's way. And so as you're driving along and Jesus is put in charge, the will is where it's supposed to be, the feelings are where they're supposed to be, the feelings won't give up. They just keep whining. and whining and whining. Let us do this. Let us go there. Let us have our way. Our responsibility is to say, I'm not going to let the feelings are going to be in charge. I'm going to let Jesus be in charge. And so I spend time with Jesus to know what he has in his mind. I spend time with Jesus to know what he wants me to do, how he wants me to go. And I spend time with Jesus and I hear him say, forgive the people that have hurt you. And at that point, I have a decision to make. Am I going to go with my feelings, or am I going to make it a choice of the will to say yes to Jesus, I forgive? And this is the hardest time, because the feelings will get very strong. The feelings will overwhelm. The feelings will take us, threaten to take us where we don't want to go. The feelings will make us cry at times. The feelings will make us feel awful at times. Even though the will is still there, the feelings can be so strong that we feel like the feelings are what is valid. And the only way to combat that is to look to Jesus and say, what is really real? What is really true? That's why when people say to me, I just don't feel like God loves me. That feeling is valid. But what is the truth? And so we have to go to the Bible for the truth, and we say, okay, Jesus, what is really true? And the Bible's full. God loves us. He gave his son to die in our place. He loves us no matter what. He forgives us. He's full of grace and mercy. And we go to the truth, and we allow Jesus to continue to go because we're acting by the will instead of by the feelings. Because feelings will always take us the wrong way. So forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. And it's the hardest thing that we have to choose, because hurt is real. Hurt will always be in the car with us until we give it to Jesus and let him toss it out the window. But feelings will always be in the car with us. Now, here's something interesting that happens. As we go through life, there will be times when feelings get louder and stronger, and they'll say, let me drive. You're supposed to say, let me drive. Let me drive.
Let me drive.
Constantly, constantly, constantly. Then we'll have to say,
take your turn.
No, stay in the back seat, yeah. Do I have to call your mother? Is that that's what you want to say? Now, here's what's interesting. Another thing that's interesting is if we keep it like this, feelings are there trying to get us to go the wrong way. Feelings Junior's back there saying, let's go get ice cream. As long as we keep them back there and the will is saying, Jesus, what do you want? I will do what you want me to do. I will accept your guidance. I will let you drive me wherever you want. I will keep you in the driver's seat. I will keep you there. Here's what's interesting is the feelings are always there. And when we begin to say no to the wrong kinds of feelings and temptations, not let them be in control, they become very pleasant to live with, as long as they're in the back seat, because there's an appropriate time to go get ice cream. But we don't let the feeling determine when we do it. We let the will determine when we do it. There's a right time to want a promotion. There's a right time to want to make more money. There's a right time to have a relationship with the opposite sex. There's a right time to just have a party and enjoy life. There's a right time for all of these feelings, but we have to keep them in the back seat. And when we keep them in the back seat now, they're fun to have around. Feelings are not bad. Feelings are not wrong. Feelings have to be kept in their proper place. And so when we're talking about forgiveness, forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. Got it? Okay. You can take those home with you if you want. Thank you. Give them a round of applause. We appreciate the new song Thespian group being a part of what we're doing here. Got it? So anytime we have a decision to make, we have to put our feelings in the right place, because forgiveness and anything that we're doing in life is not to be guided by our feelings, but guided by our will choosing Jesus. Does that make sense? I hope that keeps it in your mind. So we need to get rid of the wrong ideas, the myths about forgiveness. Now I'm just going to fill in the blanks that you have and fly through these, and then we'll come back to them in the weeks ahead. So the first truth is ditch the myths. The second is to uncover the truths about forgiveness. Uncover the truths about forgiveness. That means we put the feelings in the back seat and we have the will in the front seat saying to Jesus, what is the truth? What is the truth about forgiveness? Last week, we looked at God's way of forgiving. So in your outline, it says, God offers to freely forgive us. He pardons us, which means he cancels our debt. We're no longer guilty. We're no longer held accountable for the sins that we've committed. Jesus has paid for those. He pardons us. He cancels our debt. And then we talked about mercy, how not only does he cancel our debt, but he doesn't even give us the punishment that we deserve. And then grace, he gives us all that we don't deserve, all the good things that we deserve, all the favored position, his love for us, his care for us, his presence in our lives, loving us as a loving heavenly dad, always being there. So he pardons us, he gives us mercy, and he gives us grace. Biblical forgiveness is about choices and not feelings. So the truth is, God offers to freely forgive us. Biblical forgiveness is about choices and not feelings. We spent a lot of time talking about that. We have the ability to control our choices. We have the ability and the power of God, the direction of God, to control our choices. We can choose to forgive anyone of anything by the power of God. There are some things you will never be able to forgive if you're trying to do it in your own power. But by the power of God, you can forgive anything. And you need to forgive everything, because if we don't, we are bound and controlled by that unforgiveness. We'll talk about that in the future weeks. Everything God commands, we have the ability to do and can choose. Everything God commands. So when God says forgive, it's not like a nice idea or a motivational poster. It's a command that he says is possible. Anytime you read anything in the Bible that Jesus, that God tells us to do, we are capable of in the power of God. I saw this on Facebook this week. I thought it was great. Just because you're mad at someone doesn't mean you stop loving them. Just because you have feelings about someone doesn't mean you stop caring about that. It doesn't mean you stop forgiving. So part of forgiveness is loving somebody else. You still act. That's an act of the will, regardless of the feelings that are there. So biblical forgiveness is about choices, not feelings, and then God requires that we forgive others as he forgives us. So in the Lord's Prayer, forgive others as you have forgiven us. And then in our memory scripture, if we forgive, God will forgive us. If we don't forgive, then God, our Heavenly Father, will not forgive us. What he's saying there is evidence that you have forgiven is that you forgive. It's not that we're earning forgiveness by forgiving. It's that our desire to forgive somebody else is an indication that we've been forgiven. If we refuse God, it means we're not forgiven. If we're saying no to God, I will not forgive that person, it's evidence that we have not been forgiven. We are not living in relationship with God. God requires that we forgive others as he forgives. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. God forgives us freely, without cost. We're to forgive others freely, without cost. And so it's the same thing. To forgive, well, here's an added help. To forgive others means humility. Humility, that's the blank I put in there. Humility means I remember how Christ has forgiven me, and I remember how I've hurt others. We, as human beings, have this incredible ability to forget how we have hurt other people and remember how they have hurt us. Raise your hand if you're perfect. Okay, Nick is the only one. If you're not perfect, that means you've hurt other people. Sometimes you didn't mean to hurt other people. You didn't intend to hurt other people, but somehow you hurt them. And there are some people we've hurt badly. Some that we may not even know that we've hurt badly. But we hurt people. We need to remember that we're not perfect and we hurt other people. And remember, and so when other people hurt us, we remember that we're not perfect either. One of the things that helped me, I've talked about how my dad was emotionally abusive. One of the things that helped me to love him was to think about how he grew up and the difficulties that he grew up and the emotional abuse that he took from his own mom. And understanding that, remembering what other people have been through, remembering that they have a story, helps us to have empathy and helps us to forget. So remember. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So we, humility, and then it's the same three characteristics. Pardon, it means we cancel the debt by giving the hurt to God. So we cancel the debt. Somebody hurts us, we don't give in to our feelings. We act on our will and say, Jesus, I can't forgive this person on my own. Give me the ability to forgive them. And then God gives us the ability as we say, okay, and about the time you get to four, God will give you the ability to say, I forgive them. So we pardon. We cancel the debt. We don't hold them responsible anymore. Mercy, we don't give to them what they deserve. And grace, we give them more good. We give them good instead of harm. We give them love instead of anger. We pardon their sins. A quote by, I can't remember the person I got it from, says, it is important to remember that forgiveness is not granted because a person deserves to be forgiven. Instead, it is an act of love, mercy, and grace. There are some people that don't deserve to be forgiven, quite frankly. That's not our deal. That's God's. We have to forgive. And then number three, we need to choose forgiveness as a lifestyle. Choose forgiveness as a lifestyle. Just because it's hard doesn't mean we shouldn't forgive. That's our culture thinking. Pain is bad. Our culture says pain is bad. Pain is not bad. Pain is just hard. Just because something is hard doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. When God says forgive, he means forgive. He's serious about it. Mark Merrill says it's a decision. Forgiveness is a decision. When you really forgive someone, you are making a decision to release, embrace, pardon, and grow. Forgiveness is not about changing the past. It's about changing the future. Letting go. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Choose forgiveness as a lifestyle, not as a once-in-a-while experience, but just as people do anything to you. When people cut you off in traffic. See, whenever I bring up traffic, people go, no, I can't. God is not interested in that, is he? When people cut you off in traffic, forgive them immediately. When somebody at work says something that may harm your career, forgive them immediately. Now go back to the myths. It's not about justice. It's not about not having feelings. It's not about any of those things. It's about letting it go. Corrie Ten Boom spent over a year in a Nazi concentration camp. She lost her entire family to the Nazis. She came out of that camp, as you can imagine, with all kinds of hurt. She watched her sister die in that concentration camp. And she became a speaker that was powerful, that impacted thousands and thousands of people. As she was speaking at one rally, there's a man who started up the aisle to her, and she recognized him as one of the prison guards who was responsible for the death of her family and the pain of being in that camp. that she experienced. And here's what she says. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? Lord Jesus, I prayed, forgive me and help me to forgive him. Jesus, I can't forgive him. Give me your forgiveness. And so I discovered that it was not on our forgiveness any more than on our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives along with the command the love itself. And she says, as she made that decision and she began to extend her hand toward this man, her heart changed. Not before she chose to forgive, but as she chose to forgive. And it will be the same for us. God will give us forgiveness for others no matter how much they've hurt us, as we forgive. She goes on to say, forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart, regardless of the feelings that we have. Would you bow your heads? This morning we've just touched the surface of what it means to forgive other people. So the next couple of times together we will come back and we'll look at some of these concepts a little more deeply and how we can give ourselves to forgiveness. But right now, is there anyone in your life that you are struggling to forgive? Some of you have been hurt terribly. Some of you have been abused. And maybe you've kind of set it aside and you thought you were forgiving. But this morning you realize that in some ways you're pretending that it didn't happen. You're just glossing over it. And the hurt's still there. Is there anyone that you need to forgive? And will you say to God this morning, Lord, I choose to forgive that person. Give me your strength and your ability to do it. But I let it go. If that's your desire, just right where you are, between you and God, Lord, I choose to forgive. Name the person. I choose to forgive. And I let it go. Give me the ability to forgive. Fill me with your spirit and your love. Lord, we confess that it's easy to forget the pain that we've inflicted. And it's so easy to hold on to the pain that we've experienced from others. And even more than that, we forget the pain we inflicted on you by our hurt and sin against you. I pray that you would help us to remember and you would give us the power to forgive. I pray that you would overwhelm the people who have prayed that forgiveness prayer this morning and that you would let them know how pleased you are with them and that you will give them the ability, that you will be in the driver's seat, that you will take their lives in the direction you want them to go as they forgive. Lord, keep these truths in our hearts and minds as we go throughout our week and keep us close to your heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray.